Again, this is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. This is the Aleem Show. We're talking to Aleem here. So today we're going to be interviewing Emily, and Emily is just calling in. Hello there, Emily. Thank you so much for calling us here.
You're welcome.
Hey, so I was going to ask you a few questions here. Last week, on my show, I did a pre-recorded interview of Jane Elliott, and
yes, I need to watch that.
Oh, you still need to watch it. Okay, that's okay. And I just wanted to ask you here is now what is your opinion about the fact that what should I say? What can we do to ensure that we have a more inclusive community?
How to have a more inclusive community?
Yes.
I think just people need to be more friendly, like get out of their comfort zones. Like a lot of people are more comfortable talking to people who are of the same race, it seems. Like in my chemistry class, honestly, most of my chemistry class are Indian students, international, but the Canadian students really stick together and the Indian students really stick together, but my lab partner is actually an Indian student, I'm obviously a white Canadian, but this is rare. Like, usually the Indian students really stick together and the Canadian students really stick together.
I noticed that here too at the University of Waterloo, Laurier, and all of our universities too. That was the exact same thing when I went to Fanshawe. It was the same thing in the GTA. A lot of the Lebanese students, they would stick together when I was living in Windsor. And same with Sarnia, both the Indian and Chinese students, they stick together. It seems like that's mostly common everywhere, it seems like.
I think it would just be good if more people got out of their comfort zone. Like, I didn't care what race my lab partner was as long as we got it done.
Exactly. And see, the one thing I do find is, so I guess a lot of people are conditioned to what we call, as Jane Elliott would say, white superiority.
Yeah, well, white is the majority in Canada.
Yeah, and I know she used that as a example on her show on that as well. Now, I also just wanted to ask about interracial dating. I know that you were mentioning that when it comes to interracial dating, that you tend to like guys from different cultures as opposed to your own.
Yeah, I prefer a little color. I like brown skin, brown eyes, black hair.
Yeah, and the other thing I did want to ask though is, what is it like at your school when it comes to interracial relationships? Are there as many or not as many?
Well, my boyfriend doesn't actually go to my school. He goes to a different school really far away. I'm not really noticing interracial couples at my school very much. I'm not really noticing couples very much, period.
Yeah, and I have noticed that in Toronto or the GTA area, I have noticed that when it comes to dating, it seems as though that there is a lot of people. I mean, you know, and I'm sure this is here in Kitchener-Waterloo, but there's a lot of singles, I have to say, that it seems as though that relationships are becoming more of a thing of a past.
Yeah, even my dad recently told me, all you kids and your interracial dating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hear you, yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, as long as if he's accepting about it, I mean, that's always a good thing.
Dad doesn't care.
Yeah, and I think the thing I find is that I know for me it's just I personally don't care either. I mean, to tell you the truth is I think so many people are so conditioned to care so much, and it's unfortunate. Like I was talking to a student yesterday at the University of Waterloo, and what she mentioned to me was and she also mentioned that, what should I say? I was talking to her, and she mentioned to me that, what should I say? That when it comes to the dating aspect, now this is her words herself, and she was saying that when it comes to women, she said they're more specific when it comes to who they choose as their partners than the guys. Now, I have to, what should I say? I have to agree to disagree on that because, I find also men can be like that too. But I also think as well that, now this is just my personal opinion, that if more people would just not look at someone based on the color of their skin, like as Desmond Cole once said, that, with all the racial profiling that has happened to him, he was saying that people should just pretty much, accept people for who they are.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think attraction is very important, and, well, mutual attraction anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly. I totally. I
Still waiting for your Italian preacher pay, aren't you?
I'm sorry. What was
You're still waiting for your Italian preacher pay, aren't you?
that? Well, I mean, I am still single, actually. But to tell you the truth is, I guess I'm just gonna have to wait and be patient. I mean, unfortunately, the thing is that I'm just I guess for me, it's just I'm just gonna have to be patient. My time will come. I mean, unfortunately, I guess that I mean, as one transit operator told me one time, I will find someone. It just won't be today, tomorrow, next week.
You'll find someone.
It's true, and I mean, that's a quote I totally share as well. Now, I also just wanted to ask as well that in order to include more people from other parts of the world, like I know you're very big on inclusion and you really love meeting people from different cultures. What is some
Oh
advice that you can
yeah, my
give?
international students at my school are my favorites, as well as students with disabilities.
That's amazing, I have to say. So what is your advice to us as people to get to know these particular segments of the population?
Well, I had no choice. More than half of my class are international students from India, but I like it better that way.
Well, I mean, you know what? I once had a class when I went to Lambton College. I had a class one time where it was strictly international students. We only had a couple Canadian students, which was me and another girl, but everybody else was international. And the funny thing was is that I got along just great with both sides, Chinese and the Indians. So both, I got along with them just as great. In fact, I have some of them still on my Facebook. I don't really speak with them anymore. I mean, unfortunately, we lost touch, but I mean, they're still my Facebook friends. And it was, I have to say that it was an amazing experience getting to know their perspectives of how they've lived in the world too, because I mean, it's amazing to be able to connect and be able to share this one global world where we get to learn from one another. I mean, the thing is that, pretty soon, I mean, they always say that, and Jane Elliott said this, that every person on this planet had a black grandmother.
My grandmothers are extremely white.
That's so true. It's just I guess she was saying at the very first start of a civilized society. And then I also
Oh,
heard
yes, the first humans were black.
that's true. And I think the thing is that what has happened is that I have to say that, as society evolved on, it's very interesting that we became more and more what should I say? More and more I'm not going to say intolerant, but I will say that more ignorant, more than anything. I mean, you know, I mean, it's all ignorance that, you know, that we don't understand about our own culture, let alone other cultures. But what I've started doing now is I've just started, just started talking with random people as well. I mean, I think that's the best way. I mean, I learned once in my college class that the best way to meet people is just to talk to them and get to know them. I mean, otherwise it's a stereotype.
Well, not everyone is approving of my relationship with my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I hear you on that one. I mean, I'm sorry that some people are not approving that. Now, I mean, I know that we're recording this interview and we're live on the show. If you want to share, or if I may ask, what are some of the comments that people are saying about your interracial relationship, if I may ask? Because I mean, you know, I mean, you obviously, I mean, you're not obligated to disclose it, but if I may ask.
Oh, yeah, I thought that's why you wanted me to call.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's coming from both sides, just FYI.
Yes.
And the people on my side are concerned about my safety because of my boyfriend, and, you know, like, okay, there are some Indians who are happy about my relationship with my boyfriend. My lab partner really likes him. One of my boyfriend's friends really likes me. And, you know, that's good, but there's one Indian girl. When I told her about my boyfriend, she told me that Indian men just want to have sex with Canadian girls, but they'll eventually go on to marry an Indian woman.
And there is some truth to that. I mean, I will agree with that. There is some truth to that. But, I mean, we can't put everybody on the same brush.
Yeah.
And I think what she's trying to do is trying to put everyone in the same brush. I mean, the thing is that, you know, I mean, the unfortunate part is that our mainstream media is so conditioned to be racist towards people of color. And I mean, a lot of the times, I mean, you know, it could be one of two ways. I mean, one thing is that, you know, we hear on the media about, you know, about the crimes that are committed by people of color, but at the same token, I mean, it's just media fear-mongering that I find that's going on, because to tell you the real truth is, you know, I'm pretty sure that there's also Caucasians that are like that too. I'm pretty sure there's Latinos that are like that. There are people are like that from every culture.
Yeah, that's totally true, but I think that one Indian girl was being jealous and racist and just trying to make me feel insecure about my relationship.
And that's more than likely it. I mean, the one thing is that people who are insecure of themselves, number one, they don't have what you have, right? And then the second thing is that, you know, they want to bring, let's say, yourself down, but what my advice is that, you know, that is her noise, first and foremost, and secondly, I wouldn't even listen to her. I would just, I would just say, don't engage.
See, I just need to unfriend her finally.
Exactly, yeah. See, the one thing is that when it comes to engaging, like, the one thing is that I was, like, there's a situation that happened to me, just yesterday. I was at the university of Waterloo yesterday, and what happened is that there was a student that wanted to study, and I understand it's exam season right now. I mean, and I wish all these students the very best. In fact, my reaction to that student, because I was talking to another student, and I mean, you know, and I was in the computer lab area, which is not a silent study area. So what happened is that I was talking with this one girl because, you know, the computer was not working, right? So then I jokingly said to her that, you know, sometimes I have the habit of, because she told me that the computer's not working, you have to sit somewhere else. So I went to go sit somewhere else, and I jokingly told her that I do have a habit of sometimes trying to fix things. And then this other particular individual started getting angry with me, and he's like, be quiet, we're trying to study. And the first thing I did was, you know, apologize to him, right? I'm very sorry about that. I told him that a little bit, like maybe a couple minutes later, I apologize about that because I wanted him to know that I understood where he was coming from and that I'm sorry for doing that. Then he gets more angry with me and he's like, stop talking. And then I just lost it. I just went in a temper mode and I said to him that, you know, I said to him that I don't need your, and I said the word goddamn attitude, right? And
that's not like you.
Yeah, it isn't like me. And I mean, he apologized to me, and you know, yesterday I went home, and I felt really, really bad about it. And I just wanted to say that if this person is listening to my radio show, or if anybody's listening to my radio show from the University of Waterloo, I am deeply and truly sorry for my behavior.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, I mean, you know, I have to say that, you know, I'm not perfect either. Neither is anybody. And I have to say that the unfortunate part is that it's, I guess the thing is we need to be more understanding.
Yeah. And, you know, my boyfriend also has this friend who is also Indian, and he says that he shouldn't be dating a white woman, and white women will make you dance on the sofa, which means to say that we're bossy and controlling. I just don't understand. And he saw a photo of me and called me a typical white girl, and this is a man who knows nothing about me.
Exactly. And I mean, it comes to show that racism comes from, or racism, discrimination, ignorance comes from both sides of the coin. In fact, you know, I mean, I have to argue Jane Elliott's point. I mean, I know she was saying that, you know, she also said that I'm conditioned to white superiority. But at the same time, which I will agree, you know, I mean, you know, we all have been conditioned to that. But I have to say that in his perspective, I mean, you know, there's ignorant people in every culture. And I mean, I can argue back on that. And I mean, this individual doesn't seem to know anything about you and is making assumptions, which if I were you, I would just tell this individual that I'm sorry. I understand that if you don't know much about me, but that is not me, and you can't generalize.
Yeah, my boyfriend really wants me to meet this guy, and I'd be curious.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to tell him, listen, you know nothing about me. I'm sorry for the typical.
Exactly. And that's and that's what one should say. I mean, in conflict resolution, I mean, the one thing is that when it comes to conflict resolution, I am going to say as well that this individual, should understand about other cultures. Like, he should know. And I mean, if I had a word with him or a word with any of those friends that have insecurities, the thing I would say, and I mean, coming from me, is, did you realize that your great-great-grandmother, the first person born on this planet, was a black woman? I would say that to them, because to tell you the truth, all of this is just coming back down to ignorance.
Yeah, the first humans were three people from Tanzania.
Exactly. And our education system is such that white superiority. I mean, you know, even even what's this individual's name, Jane Elliott, said the same thing. It's like, you know, where do we, I mean, our education system is designed to make us racist.
Interesting.
I mean, that's in the States, though. That's in the U.S. But also she was saying as well that with our Canadian education system as well, I mean, she didn't say anything about our Canadian education system, but she did say that anything that's happening in the States right now with the Donald Trump thing, 30 years from now, it's going to be moving here to Canada. So whatever happens in the States will move here.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, and my, and in the interview, and she mentioned that in the interview as well. And also, I wanted to also mention, as well that, you know, it's, I mean, you know, people always say that, you know, oh, this won't happen in Canada, it's a U.S. problem. But whatever happens in the States, I mean, here in Canada, when it comes to discrimination and ignorance and stuff like that, it's more subtle. In the States, it's more direct, it's in your face. Or it's in one's face, I should say. And that's the difference I found. Like, when I've gone to the States, I've had good experiences in the States. Don't get me wrong. It's just how things are portrayed in the U.S. is different from here in Canada. I remembered I was at the library one time. I was at Waterloo Public Library, and there was an individual that started yelling at a librarian who was non-white, but he was very ignorant and coming across as being racist. When he was told about his library fines and he didn't agree with them, the first response with him was, "Don't you speak English?" And I heard that happen, right? You know, I was in the library working on a computer, and I heard that. Everybody else was just standing and watching. And I was like, I can't take this anymore. So I stood up. I was on the second floor. This guy was on the first floor. And I said to him, please respect our library staff. He asks me the same question. Don't you know how to speak English? And what happened is that I walked away, and he ended up just leaving the library.
Your English is good. It's like your first language, isn't it?
English is my first language. Yes, it is.
Then why was he asking you that?
I have no idea. I think what he was doing is he was looking at it from the color of the person's skin. And this librarian, which, I mean, I'm not going to name what race she was or who she is or anything like that, but I will say that this individual librarian was very shocked. I mean, you know, her supervisor had to, like, take her to the side and tell her not to react and take it personally, right? Because she was very shocked. It has never happened to her, right? And I saw this happen. And I said, you know what? I got to do something about this. Like, this is wrong. So I went up and I said something. I mean, she thanked me after the fact that I stood in and I helped her. And she was very appreciative about it. I had another library page. There was another library customer that was there as well. And I met him on the city bus. And, I mean, he went to the library as well. And he ended up coming up to me. He got up and he said to me, I know what you're doing is great. I appreciate it. I mean, that's great, but just be careful you don't get hit or I don't get attacked. That's what his response was to me. But yeah, no, English is my first language.
Yeah, so he was just being racist.
Yeah, no, he was being very ignorant and very racist. He eventually left. I mean, he left the library eventually. Like, he left as soon as I stood in. He left. But I mean, I had all these other library customers coming to me and they're like, why didn't the librarians call security? They need to call security. Like, they have security in the library too, right? So they were coming and asking me on that. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't work here, right? I'm just trying to get this person to stop saying this stuff to her. But yeah, I think the problem is that even with Jane Elliott, she was saying herself that a lot of people, and even Desmond Cole, he was saying himself that people will not stand up and do something when they see something like that happening. And I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, I mean, I was pretty disappointed. Now, does this kind of stuff happen in your college or that you've seen where you live? Like, do you see stuff like that happen?
My college is really progressive.
Or your college is racist?
No, really progressive.
Really? What? Sorry?
Progressive.
Oh, they're very progressive. That's amazing.
Well, I relapsed for over a month, and no one was judging me at all.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, I gotta say, that's a very progressive college.
And I didn't get judged.
That's amazing. See, our school is like that too. University of Waterloo is like that too, I find. And also Laurier. I mean, very great universities. I mean, I went to some other colleges. Like, I went to St. Clair College, and I went to Fanshawe College, and I went to Lambton College. And the place I found I got most judged on for having ADHD was St. Clair College.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was. In fact, I had a couple of people ask me if I was on any medication for it, which is very rude.
If I get judged for anything, it's my bipolar disorder, but honestly, it's mostly men who judge me for having bipolar disorder, but women don't so much.
I notice, yeah, I mean, I noticed with me, though, is I got judged more by the women I found when I was living in Windsor. But at the same token, I was also judged by, one of the guys as well. But most of the people that judged me were actually women. And I'm not going to say they were all women. I mean, there were, three women and a guy? So it was really small, the percentage. But I had these individuals that were a little, that were quite judgmental. And I think the thing is that, one of the girls that was like that, I know where she was coming from because her brother had ADHD. And her brother was taking medication. So she made that point. I once had a transit driver from Windsor, like from Transit Windsor. It was a male driver. Not going to mention the name. But he did say that I should take medication. I mean, to tell you the truth, in my personal opinion, I don't think it's appropriate for anyone, for that matter, to judge other people because they have a disorder of some sort. See, I ran into someone yesterday, and she told me she had bipolar. And she told me with her was she doesn't take medication. I mean, she just finds natural ways to control it. And I couldn't even tell she had bipolar.
Well, you'll have to tell me more about privately.
No, I will. I'll definitely tell you more privately about this individual as well. Like, I'm not going to discuss it on the air because I don't have any permission for that whatsoever. I just wanted to just make the point out as well, right? You know,
that I didn't know there were natural treatments for bipolar disorder.
I mean,
the only thing I've heard of is controlling the mania with drinking, but I don't want to do that.
No, I don't. I don't advise that either, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think for her, what she does is she just, I guess she doesn't, I think she's been programmed to condition that, you know, hey, when she has her maniac episodes, they don't happen in school. So she's controlled it to a point that I think it's behavior therapy that she's done for herself. And I mean, I don't know exactly how it is. I will have to research on that because, I mean, it's just I don't know, right? So I can't say it. But yeah, I'm going to have to talk to you privately more on that. I mean, that's something that I will need to discuss to you more in private as well. Now, I also just wanted to ask as well that what is it like going through the process of, receiving accommodations for different disabilities at the college you go to?
Well, I have an access coach who advocates for me, and she emails my professors and gets them to give me accommodations, like if I want to type my cheat sheet or if I want to have an extension because of health reasons. Sometimes my health really gets in the way of my schoolwork and I need an extension on something, but she abandoned me right before exams. She's on vacation right now until after exams are over.
Wow. I'm not sure what to say there. I mean, that's, I would not take vacation right at the end of exams. I would not do that because that's just wrong. I would take it afterwards. So now, who do you see if you need something? Did they assign you someone else?
I just tried to ask my professor without my access coach if I could get an extension on these two online quizzes.
Well, I have to say that that is something that they should get back to you on. I mean, it's just, I guess it makes it more difficult when they're not present. I mean, it's just very frustrating sometimes how our education system works. I mean, it's just, I'm so frustrated to the point that, you know, sometimes even for myself, when I've gone to school, I feel like a lot of counseling sessions or just talking with a counselor is very short. I remembered when I was at
St. I talk to the counselor at school as well, mostly about anxiety.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you're probably allowed as many sessions as you need. I mean, I was allowed that too,
once
but
a week.
I guess. Sorry?
Once a week, sometimes half an hour only.
Yeah. See, for me though, is I feel that I wish I would have personally, taken advantage of the drop-in sessions that they had at Lambton College. Like, when I was at Lambton College, they had drop-in sessions where people could just walk in and see a counselor between 8:30 to 11:30 in the morning. And then and then for the more serious concerns, they would allow people to book appointments in the afternoon.
That's lucky.
Yeah, and I didn't take advantage of it. I mean, I should have. I didn't. I mean, I was just, I was like, you know, I've seen psychologists because I've needed test accommodations for my learning disability and ADHD and stuff like that. And sometimes I find that when I go through the therapy aspect of it, I mean, it's good to speak to someone that's a professional. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't speak to a professional, but I find when one goes to a professional for help, it's almost like a formal visit. So it's not like you're visiting. See, at first I thought, okay, I'm visiting my best friend. But I have to realize that, you know, one is visiting a professional who knows about these particular aspects of situations like anxiety and stuff like that, that they're just qualified, trained people. And theoretically, they can't be your friend because that would be against the code that they would be violating under whatever doctor or whatever counseling licensing institution is that they deal with. Now, the thing is that do you find it's easier talking to a counselor or talking to a friend or talking to just a random person? What have you found has been the most successful?
I think it's better to talk to a counselor, but she's not around as much as I need, so I have been talking to my friends about it.
It's nice that they're actually willing to take the time to help you. I mean, that's great. See, for me, though, is sometimes when I feel like I'm bothered about something or I want to talk about something, and who I usually talk to is the bus drivers, because according to the Globe and Mail, they said that the role of a bus driver is to act as an unofficial therapist they act as an unofficial therapist for riders that want to have a chat while they're going to their destination. So I've been using that as an outlet.
So my relationship has been having difficulties from day one, partly because it's interracial, partly because I have bipolar disorder, and I believe that he has some undiagnosed mental illness.
I hear you for sure. I mean, it's just, it's probably undiagnosed more than anything.
He hasn't been diagnosed with anything.
And the surprising part is that I remembered I went to go and get a gym membership one time when I was living in London. I went to go and get a gym membership. The very first day I went to go and get that gym membership from, from a gym, I went to Movati Athletic, which is a gym that I'm no longer a member of because it started costing me a lot more money. However, I was a member of the Movati Athletic gym when I lived in London, and I ran into some amazing people working at that gym. In fact, I was signing up for my membership, and I was talking about myself, and I remembered a girl that was working at the front desk, a really nice person. She said to me that, you know, she jokingly said to me, and I mean, it's not something I was going to discuss, but she said to me that, hey, now that you're a gym membership, you may be able to meet your woman that you, because you're single, so you may be able to meet your woman, so you'll never know.
Well, yeah, the gym would be a good place to meet someone.
Yeah, so she said that to me. And then, I mean, you know, the thing is that the manager that worked there, I mean, the manager that worked there, she introduced me to all the staff, including the custodian that worked there as well. And it was an amazing experience that I had going to that gym. In fact, there was even another time I was doing exercise on the bike, and the manager came up to me, and even though she had an appointment for her own fitness, she was off duty at the time. She came and sat with me for about maybe up to 10 minutes to ride on the bike with me and talk to me, which is nice. I didn't ask her to do that. She wasn't obligated to do that, but she did that.
That's really nice.
And I mean, and the thing is that, you know, it was amazing. And I mean, even the same manager that worked at the gym, I told her that I think I may feel as if I have bipolar the very first day I got my membership. And she told me that maybe you should get it diagnosed. The only thing I'm scared of is, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't want to be put on medication.
Yeah, I don't think you have it though.
No, I don't think I do. I mean, I guess it's sometimes I just feel that, you know, sometimes I just feel as though, you know, when someone brings me down, I just go completely in a downward spiral. But I guess what my only concern that I have for myself is, I think sometimes what happens is when someone is just not very nice to me, or someone doesn't enjoy my company, or someone doesn't give me the time of day. And I mean, I should realize sometimes, and under my personal realization, I should realize that, you know, not everybody's going to be my friend. Not everybody wants to talk to me. Not everyone wants to hang out with me. And that's, you know, that's common for any human being on the planet, right? I mean, you know, we can't like everybody, right? I mean, we can't please everybody, and that's fact. But my thing is that I think that's what I've been conditioned to grow up is, you know, because I didn't have very many friends going out. And, you know, when you listen to mainstream media focuses so much on popularity, and, you know, they talk all about popularity, and it's like, you know, and then I have to think to myself, I have to be popular, like, you know, like our politicians or our CEOs or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, tell you the truth is, you know, our mainstream media just does things for ratings.
Yeah, Yes.
And that's what I find as well.
Her show seems more authentic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I try to make my show more authentic. I mean, I've had people ask me before how many people listen to my show. I had a driver ask me that last night, actually. And I mean, our website does count the number of viewers that listen to the show. But the funny thing is that it's not working. And I told them that I don't even pay attention to that. I'm like, if people want to listen to my show, they're more than welcome to tune in to listen to my show. If they don't want to listen to my show, then they can always change the station, right? That's how I look at things, right? You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate you.
Way to look at things. You just focus on what's important to you.
Exactly. And you know what? I think the thing is that, you know, when it comes to Sound FM, the great thing about Sound FM is we allow anybody to pretty much start up their own show. As long as if people are not trying to promote any sort of hate or trying to swear on the radio, like before 9 o'clock p.m. and, you know, stuff like that, like rules like that, then we will allow pretty much anybody to start a show.
Yeah, I actually had to censor what that one Indian girl told me.
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand.
I'm aware that this is a radio show.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, the thing is that, and the last thing we want is complaints, right? Exactly. So, I mean, I definitely understand that for sure. I mean, I know for me, for a fact is, you know, I have to censor things that I say too, but sometimes I find for me is that can be very difficult for me because I'm just very upfront and I don't want to hide anything, right?
Yes.
And I'm one of those individuals as well. But I mean, sometimes, you know, we have to watch what we say too, right? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we got to think of our audience and, you know, stuff like that. And I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate you being mindful of that. That's excellent as well. Now, the other thing that I wanted to ask as well is, what program are you taking in school?
I'm taking environmental technology.
Environmental technology. Have you ever heard of the thing called TED, technology environmental design?
No.
It's basically what we call, it's almost like a talk show. And it talks all about, like, you know, it's all these different speakers. It's called TED. And it's a technology environmental design. And it talks all about, like, you know, different speakers, like Al Gore, for example, talking about climate change. Or one of the things that I really enjoyed a lot, and I'm just going to go through my through this book that I had here, Sir Ken Robinson, who talked about a girl who, her name was Gillian Lynn, and she had a learning disorder. And what happened is that she went to a psychologist, like her parents took her to a psychologist, right, because she couldn't sit still, right? And what the psychologist told her was, she's a dancer, take her to dance school. And now she owns her own dance studio or something like that as well. Her name is Gillian Lynn.
Oh, wow.
And I think the thing is that what he was trying to say, Sir Ken Robinson, is he was trying to say, yes, it's Gillian Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E. So I guess I spelt it wrong. But yeah, so she's a British ballerina, dancer, choreographer, actress, and theater and television design.
That's really cool. Send me more info about the TED show.
Yeah, the TED link. I mean, I got the video from the library, so I'm definitely gonna send you which TED video that was. So at least then you can see if it's in the library, because I mean, I did watch part of it, and also as well, the other person that I found that I learned about as well is. And this is a quote from, and there's another lady that you'll really like as well. Her name is Jihan Noorjam, and she received an award for documentary films, Control Room, and Startup.com. And one of the quotes she did say, and this talks about racism, right? And she says, imagine a day coming together from around the world. You have towns and villages and theaters from around the world and getting together and sitting in the dark and sharing together communal experience, watching a film or a couple of films together. Watching a film which maybe highlights character that is fighting to live, or just a character that defies stereotypes, makes a joke, sings a song, comedies, documentaries, shorts, Its amazing power can be used to change people and bond people together, to cross borders and have people feel that they are having a communal experience. And I believe that one day we can create momentum, all these independent voices. There isn't an organization which is connecting these independent voices.
1 minute, please. I'm still on the air.
I'll be quick. Yeah, and it's these independent voices in the world. And I'm hearing throughout the conference, the biggest danger in our future, understanding the other and mutual respect for the other and crossing the borders. And if film can do that, and if we can get all of these different locations to watch these films together, it would be an incredible day. I wish to bring the world together for one day through the power of film.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of the quotes. And I mean, I hope to one day, I hope one day someone in this world decides to use that as a learning tool, I think. Just make some different films and stuff. Do you have a favorite movie you like to watch?
Love Actually. I watch it constantly.
What was that movie? I'm sorry?
Love Actually.
Oh, Love Actually. And what is the movie about?
It's about, like, 8 different couples. And it's, like, 5 weeks till Christmas, then 4 weeks till Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. Then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it first starts off at the gates of Heathrow Airport when people reunite with each other and they're hugging, and it's all about love. It's the best movie that's ever been made.
I should look into that. I mean, I should go to a Kitchener Public Library or Waterloo Public Library and look into that. That's great. I mean, I have to say that there's so many movies.
There are so many different types of love in that movie as well, and not all of them are even romantic, and it's a very romantic movie. It's perfect.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is
I'm
that
watching it on Saturday.
Nice. That's awesome. And I mean, I gotta say that when it comes to this particular movie, so are you gonna be watching it with friends, or are you gonna be watching it
I'm gonna be watching it with my boyfriend. I'm making him watch it.
Nice. That's awesome. I mean, I gotta say, that's amazing. I mean, I gotta say, though, that I watch a lot of movies on my own. And I mean, it's great to watch a movie when you're with someone, because then you can talk about the movie.
Yes.
But I know for myself, I tend to watch a lot of movies on my own. But I hope you enjoy it. I mean, you know, you deserve it. I mean, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, you deserve to be happy. And I think everyone deserves to be happy. It's just, I think the thing
makes you feel warm and fuzzy after you watch it.
Exactly. No, and I totally agree. I totally agree agree on that. And I think if people can do that, then people would appreciate it. Now, I do have one special guest here. His name is Kiro Barros, and he's the guardian beast. He's my plush toy, and I'm going to make him talk on the radio here.
Okay.
So, would you introduce yourself, Kiro Barros?
I'm Kiro Barros, the guardian beast.
He's my favorite toy ever.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I brought him to the station, and when I put this show up, I took a picture of him and Mickey Mouse, and I'm going to put this as the cover picture of this interview as well.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And I have to say that if you do have to get going, I will definitely let you go. So is there anything else that you wanted to add on to the show or anything like that?
Well, we were originally talking about interracial dating. I just wanted to say, yeah, it comes from all sides.
It does. And I mean, and I think the thing is that if we can try to get people to understand how to be more accepting, maybe the world will be a better place. And I think the thing is that, you know, I think mainstream media really needs to, I hope they can get a hold of our conversation, because they really need to start thinking outside the box. And they really need to start seeing the good in people instead of always talking about ISIS and, you know, all this other stuff that's going on in the world. That's why I don't even watch the news. I will only pick certain clips, and those clips will be positive clips.
Yeah, I think you just need to get out of your comfort zone, talk to people who aren't from the same country as you.
You know what? And I think the thing is that I think it's great to... I remember once my counselor once told me... I think one of my counselors once told me that when I was going through my breakup with my ex-girlfriend who was white, what she told me was, if I want, why don't I connect with people who are from the other countries, like people who are considered visible minorities. I don't like using that term, but that's what she told me. And she's like, and then you can learn from them and be able to learn about their struggles. So she told me to enroll in some sort of a therapy on that, group therapy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's great to know the struggles that other people deal with, because it's great to understand as well. As these two people once said, like one girl from the Windsor Police Stop a Bully video said, like when it comes to bullying is what's treating one another, it's belittling one another. You can say the same thing to three people and you'll never know how it's going to affect that one person, what it's going to do to their feelings, how it's going to hurt them. We need to be mindful of our words and our actions. You don't have to like everybody, but we need to respect one another. Stop a bully. And then Chief Al Frederick from the Windsor Police said, bullying is when someone hurts another person. It can be physical, emotional, or verbal. And sometimes it includes exclusion or leaving someone out. The best way to prevent bullying is to be proactive. Don't be a bystander. We want all children in our community to have fun and to be safe. If you are a victim to bullying, or if you are a witness to bullying, please tell a teacher or a parent. For a valuable resource for schools, students, and parents, visit www.stopabully.ca. Get involved and stop a bully. Two great quotes I wanted to share.
Thank you.
No problem. And I just wanted to say that it was a pleasure speaking with you here. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
It was a pleasure talking to you as well. I'm flattered that you wanted my opinions.
Well, the one thing is that I like to interview ordinary people personally, because... the reason I like that is because the stories seem real, right? You know, a lot of the times mainstream media, they will only interview people who have power, like the mayor, city councilors, for example, police chiefs, people that have power of authority, but they don't listen to people like me and you. So what I wanted to do was, in my radio show, I wanted to listen to all individuals in this world to ensure that every person has a right to a voice on our show. And I think the thing is that we need more of that, and more people need to come forward with that, because it helps to build those relationships and connections as well, in my personal opinion, because a lot of the times, you know what, when it comes to broadcasting and radio and television and media should be about the people, especially with the fact that when it comes to Canadian media, in some aspects of Canadian media, the government does fund, let's say, like CBC, for example. And I know it's CBC, they are considered to be a Canadian broadcasting corporation, but I find They tend to have a lot of biases too, just like a lot of other mainstream media. But what I'm trying to promote as well here at Sound FM is we need to have more people who are individuals come out and talk about their life stories. It doesn't have to be just people who own businesses and stuff like that and stuff of that nature, but just individual people that want to talk about themselves and their stories and stuff like that. I mean, I could tell you lots about myself. I could tell you that I've had two ex-girlfriends that have been white, and tell you the truth is, I can say for sure is I don't look at someone's race, and also I believe that people really need to look at individuals. And it was nice talking to you, and thank you for sharing your perspective there, Emily, and I wish you nothing but the best, and you're amazing. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. It was great calling you. Bye.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. You know what? I'll chat with you on Facebook.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So there you have it. That was Emily that I was interviewing today. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me on this as well. Now, coming up on our show, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce you to, a song, a great song, I should say. And one of the songs I wanted to introduce you to is, and I'm just pulling this up here, is Never Had a Dream Come True by S Club 7, 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo.
Everybody's got something they had to.
So that was S Club 7. Never Had a Great Dream Come Through True. 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. Now I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to play another song here for us. And that song that I'm going to play is S Club 7, Love Train. We apologize for the technical difficulties on that. Just bear with me here for one moment. We'll go ahead and we'll try to fix this up here. That was S Club 7, Love Train, 100.3, Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, The Aline Show with Talkative Aline here. And I just want to tell you those bullying quotes that I mentioned that was published on October 9, 2013 on YouTube by the Windsor Police Service, titled Windsor Police Stop a Bully Video. And also I have another quote that I wanted to mention as well. It is, what should I say, the other quote that I wanted to mention here was as follows. So the quote I wanted to mention here is, also teachers, police, EMS, fire, doctors, nurses, and all other public and private sector workers need to recognize and stop a bully, which is the responsibility for you and me. And as Sir Robert Peel said, the police are the public and the public are the police. So what we need to do is we need to educate ourselves on how to stop bullying, but we also need to be proactive and do what we can to help and assist in stopping bullying as well. Now I'm going to put on this Windsor Police Stop a Bully campaign, and I want people to just hear about that as well. So just one moment, I'm just going to pull this up.
Stop a bully.
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 Hey, Windsor, stop a bully.
Stop a bully.
Stop a bully.
On behalf of Windsor and Essex County Crime Stoppers, stop a bully.
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 Bullying is when someone hurts another person. It can be physical, emotional, or verbal, and it sometimes includes exclusion or leaving someone out. The best way to prevent bullying is to be proactive. Don't be a bystander. We want all children in our community to have fun and to be safe. If you are a victim of a bully, or if you are a witness to bullying, please tell a teacher or a parent. For a valuable resource for schools, students, and parents, please visit www.stopabully.ca. Get involved and stop a bully.
Special thanks to everybody who participated in this video. Special thanks to Paula LeBlanc and Julia Calladion of Windsor Chapel Funeral Homes. They donated the design of the anti-bullying calendars. Special thanks to Lisa McIntyre and Michael Kelly of Vistaprint, who donated their services in printing the calendars. Over 1,500 calendars have been produced and will be sold in the Windsor-Essex County region. The proceeds from the sales of these calendars will benefit many organizations within our community, including the Canadian Mental Health Association, the Safety Village, Neighborhood Watch Windsor, and Windsor and Essex County Crime Stoppers.
That's 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo, the Aleem Show with Talkative Aleem here. I just wanted to say here that I do apologize that I will not be able to air the full interview of Jane Elliott. It is published on soundfm.ca where people can listen to that. Just look up when you go on soundfm.ca. What I recommend everyone to look up here. So when people go up to soundfm.ca, I want to just recommend everyone to do the following. Go to July 27, 2016, and it's the official Jane Elliott interview. I apologize, I have not been able to play it on this entire show. I will make sure to play this interview. I will play this next week. I do apologize about that, and I will make sure that I will play this interview. I apologize for the inconvenience this may have caused everyone today. I guess I really need to start preparing scripts, don't I? However, what I am going to do now is I am going to go and pull up the Stop a Bully. This is part of the TED Talks here, and his name is Shane Khoizan, and he talks about bullying. This is on TED Talks, 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
Shot down so many times, I get altitude sickness just from standing up for myself. But that's what we were told. Stand up for yourself. That's hard to do if you don't know who you are. We were expected to define ourselves at such an early age. If we didn't do it, others did it for us. Geek, fatty, slut, fag. And at the same time we were being told what we were being asked, what do you want to be? Grow up. I always thought that was an unfair question. It presupposes that we can't be what we already are. We were kids. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a man. I wanted a registered retirement savings plan that would keep me in candy long enough to make old age sweet. When I was a kid, I wanted a shave. Now, not so much. When I was 8, I wanted to be a marine biologist. When I was 9, I saw the movie Jaws and thought to myself, no, thank you. When I was 10, I was told that my parents left because they didn't want me. When I was 11, I wanted to be left alone. When I was 12, I wanted to die. When I was 13, I wanted to kill a kid. When I was 14, I was asked to seriously consider a career path. I said, I'd like to be a writer. And they said, choose something realistic. So I said, professional wrestling. And they said, don't be stupid. See, they asked me what I wanted to be, then told me what not to be. And I wasn't the only one. We were being told that we somehow must become what we are not, sacrificing what we are to inherit the masquerade of what we will be. I was being told to accept the identity that others will give me. And I wonder what made my dreams so easy to dismiss. Granted, my dreams are shy because they're Canadian. My dreams are self-conscious and overly apologetic. They're standing alone at the high school dance, and they've never been kissed. See, my dreams got called names, too. Silly. Impossible. But I kept dreaming. I was going to be a wrestler. I had it all figured out. I was going to be the garbage man. My finishing move was going to be the trash compactor. My saying was going to be, I'm taking out the trash. And then this guy, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, stole my entire shtick. I was crushed as if by a trash compactor. I thought to myself, what now? Where do I turn? Poetry. Like a boomerang, the thing I loved came back to me. One of the first lines of poetry I can remember writing was in response to a world that demanded I hate myself. From age 15 to 18, I hated myself for becoming the thing that I loathed, a bully. When I was 19, I wrote, I will love myself despite the ease with which I lean toward the opposite. Standing up for yourself doesn't have to mean embracing violence. When I was a kid, I traded in homework assignments for friendship, then gave each friend a late slip for never showing up on time, and in most cases, not at all. I gave myself a hall pass to get to each broken promise. And I remember this plan born out of frustration from a kid who kept calling me Yogi, that pointed at my tummy and said, too many picnic baskets. Turns out it's not that hard to trick someone. And one day before class, I said, yeah, you can copy my homework. And I gave him all the wrong answers that I'd written down the night before. He got his paper back expecting a near-perfect score. I couldn't believe it when he looked across the room at me and held up a zero. I knew I didn't have to hold up my paper of 28 out of 30. This is who I am. This is how I stand up for myself. When I was a kid, I used to think that pork chops and karate chops were the same thing. I thought they were both pork chops. Because my grandmother thought it was cute and because they were my favorite, she let me keep doing it. Not really a big deal. One day, before I realized fat kids are not designed to climb trees, I fell out of a tree and bruised the right side of my body. I didn't want to tell my grandmother about it because I was scared I'd get in trouble for playing somewhere I shouldn't have been. A few days later, the gym teacher noticed the bruise and I got sent to the principal's office. From there, I was sent to another small room with a really nice lady who asked me all kinds of questions about my life at home. I saw no reason to lie. As far as I was concerned, life was pretty good. I told her whenever I'm sad, my grandmother gives me karate chops. This led to a full-scale investigation. And I was removed from the house for 3 days. Until they finally decided to ask how I got the bruises. News of this silly little story quickly spread through the school, and I earned my first nickname. Pork chop. To this day, I hate pork chops. I'm not the only kid who grew up this way. Surrounded by people who used to say that rhyme about sticks and stones. As if broken bones hurt more than the names we got called. We got called them all. So we grew up believing no one would ever fall in love with us. That we'd be lonely forever. That we'd never meet someone to make us feel like the sun was something they built for us in their tool shed. So broken heartstrings bled the blues, and we tried to empty ourselves so we'd feel nothing. Don't tell me that hurts less than a broken bone. That an ingrown life is something surgeons can cut away, that there's no way for it to metastasize, it does. She was 8 years old, our first day of grade 3, when she got called ugly. We both got moved to the back of class, or we'd stop getting bombarded by spitballs. But the school halls were battleground. We found ourselves outnumbered day after wretched day. We used to stay inside for recess because outside was worse. Outside, we'd have to rehearse running away, or learn to stay still like statues, giving no clues that we were there in grade 5. The tape was sign at the front of her desk that read, "Beware of dog." To this day, despite a loving husband, she doesn't think she's beautiful because of a birthmark that takes up less than half her face. Kids used to say she looks like a wrong answer that someone tried to erase but couldn't quite get the job done. And they'll never understand that she's raising two kids whose definition of beauty begins with the word mom. Because they see her heart before they see her skin, because the labor always been amazing. He, with a broken branch, grafted onto a different family tree. Adopted. Not because his parents opted for a different destiny. He was three when became a mixed drink of one part left alone and two parts tragedy. Started therapy in eighth grade. Had a personality made up of tests and pills. Lived like the uphills were mountains and the downhills were cliffs. Four-fifths suicidal, a tidal wave of antidepressants, and an adolescent being called pauper. One part because of the pills, 99 parts because of the cruelty. He tried to kill himself in grade 10, when a kid who could still go home to mom and dad had the audacity to tell him, "Get over it." As if depression is something that could be remedied by any of the contents found in a first aid kit. To this day, he has a stick of TNT lit from both ends, could describe in detail where the sky bends in a moment before it's about to fall. And despite an army of friends who all call him an inspiration, he remains a conversation piece between people who can't understand. Sometimes being drug-free has less to do with addiction and more to do with sanity. We weren't the only kids who grew up this way. To this day, kids are still being called names. The classics were, "Hey, stupid," "Hey, spaz." Seems like every school has an arsenal of names getting updated every year. And if a kid breaks into school and no one around chooses to hear it, they make a sound. They're just background noise from soundtracks stuck on repeat when people say things like, "Kids can be cruel." Every school is a big top circus tent. And the pecking order went from acrobats to lion tamers, from clowns to carnies, all of these miles ahead of who we were. We were freaks. Lobster claw boys and bearded ladies. Oddities, juggling depression and loneliness, playing solitaire, spin the bottle, trying to kiss the wounded parts of ourselves and heal. But at night, while the others slept, we kept walking the tightrope. It was practice. And yes, some of us fell. But I want to tell them that all of this is just debris. Left over when we finally decide to smash all the things we thought we used to be. And if you can't see anything beautiful about yourself, get a better mirror. Look a little closer. Stare a little longer. Because there's something inside you that made you keep trying despite everyone who told you to quit. You built a cast around your broken heart inside of yourself. You decided they were wrong. Because maybe you didn't belong to a group or a clique. Maybe they decided that you last for basketball or everything. Maybe you used to bring bruises and broken teeth to show and tell but never told. Because how can you hold your ground if everyone around you wants to bury you beneath it? You have to believe that they were wrong. They have to be wrong. Why else would we still be here? We grew up learning to cheer on the underdog because we see ourselves in them. We stem from a root planted in the belief that we are not what we were called. We are not abandoned cars stalled out and sitting empty on some highway. And if in some way we are, don't worry. We only got out to walk and get gas. We are graduating members from the class that we made it. Not the faded echoes of voices crying out names will never hurt me. Of course, they did. But our lives will only ever always continue to be a balancing act that has less to do with pain and more to do with beauty.
That's 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. Thank you
Thank you very much for sharing that there, Shane Khoisan. He talks about bullying. This is going to be found on YouTube, published September 23rd, 2014. And this is the TED Talks. What I will do here is I will now talk about this one girl who's a bully girl. Even though she was voted the ugliest on the internet, she gives an amazing speech. So please listen to this.
I'm at home, and I was procrastinating doing homework, and you guys know exactly what that's like. Because I did it all the time. And at the time, I was sitting at home, and I wanted to listen to music on YouTube. And you guys know whenever you look on YouTube, and then there's like a right-hand column of like related videos? Well, that's what I thought. And when I looked a little bit closer, I realized that there was a picture that looked really, really familiar on the related column. So I clicked on it, not knowing that me clicking on this little picture that I thought was me would change my life completely. I didn't know it would be a defining moment in my life when I clicked on that video. What's the video? I clicked on it. The first thing I saw was, okay, yes, that is my picture from when I was 11 years old and I was on that show. I looked a little bit above this video, and the title of this video was The World's Ugliest Woman. I want you to take a second and let that sink in. Think how that would feel if you are randomly just listening to music, and you somehow see a picture of yourself, and someone labels you the world's ugliest man or the world's ugliest woman. Just think how that would make you feel. Now, picture yourself scrolling down after seeing this awful, awful video. And picture how you would feel if you looked down and you saw that over 4 million people had saw this video. 4 million. I continued to scroll down and I saw that this video was 8 seconds long. I pressed play and there was no sound. And I thought, there's an 8 second video with no sound that over 4 million people saw of only me. Calling me the world's ugliest woman. I literally felt like somebody was putting their hand through the computer and punching me over and over and over. I still to this day don't know why I did this, but I scrolled down and I saw that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of comments on this 8-second video that had no sound. I sat there and I read every single one. And not one was positive. Not one. These comments range from people telling me to do the world a favor and just put a gun to my head. Some were saying, why don't you just walk out of your house with a bag over your head? Because if people see your face, they're going to go blind from your ugliness. People were giving me tips on how to kill myself. I was in high school when I saw this. The video clip was from when I was 11 years old, and it said it. Clear as day on this video, it said 11 years old. And I couldn't understand how anyone, no matter what age, could think how to just jump on this bandwagon and say awful, awful things, not knowing that I would one day somehow stumble upon it. I cried my eyes out reading these comments. My confidence level went from being up here to being way down here to almost not even existing. And I feel like it took me a really long time to get to that point. it was brought down completely. My tears quickly turned to anger. I quickly wanted to just wipe the tears off my face, pull out the keyboard, and reply back to every single comment. I know what I was going to tell them, but I just wanted to make them feel bad. I wanted to make them feel bad for hiding behind their computer screen and saying these awful things about someone that they don't even know. But then I stopped and I realized, what am I going to accomplish? What am I going to do if I sink down to their level? Nothing. I'm going to be fighting a never-ending battle that's going to prove nothing. I'm just going to become one of those people that hides behind their computer screen and makes fun of other people or makes other people feel bad about themselves. And that's not who I was raised to be. So I stopped and I had a very hard time swallowing this video. A very hard time, I'm not going to lie. But something clicked in me, some little voice in the back of my head, which I know is God. And I heard, just wait. Let it go. Just let it go and wait. And that's what I did. I let it go, and yes, it was very hard for me to kind of pick myself up from that. Very difficult. But I did what my parents told me when I was in kindergarten. They said, just continue to be yourself, and others will see that. So that's what I did. I continued high school. Everything was wonderful despite this video. I was excited to meet new people. I was excited to start this new journey in my life. And without even trying, my life kind of started, everything kind of just started falling into place. My relationship with God was better than ever. Because in the moment when I realized that I wanted to be a speaker, I was like, God, I get you now. I get it. I still have some questions, but I get it. You made me the girl that I am for a reason. You gave me all those struggles growing up to make me stronger. You made me look different so that I could see the beauty that isn't defined by the media. And yes, I am still learning. But the feeling that I get, that I know that God is working through me and helping me tell you something, is the greatest feeling in the entire world. But all these things were something that I cannot take credit for on my own. I cannot. The only way that I was able to accomplish all of those things and will be able to continue for the rest of my life is with my faith, my family, and my friends. My faith is number one in my life. And I think that God gave me this syndrome before I looked at it as a giant flashing sign that said, curse. I look now at what God gave me on this billboard and I see a giant, bright, happy sign that says blessing. And I will always look at it as a blessing. All the questions that I had, all the why me, why God did you do this to me, have all been answered. And I've learned to stop asking why. Because I've learned that God does absolutely everything for a reason. And you have to basically just lay it all down and let God take care of it. Because he will, whether you see it or whether you don't. You will eventually be so surprised and think, thank you, God. Before you have this problem, he already knows how he's going to help you get through it. How great of a feeling is that? Whenever I do things, I get excited because I know that God is going to be there to help me. God is going to be there to pick me up when I'm down and to lift me even higher when I'm excited. I will tell you right now, that if you stop asking why, and if you start saying, thank you, God, all your answers will come to you. All of them. I want to thank you for having me, for listening to my message, and I hope that some of you know that God put you here for a reason, and He wants you to share that reason no matter what. Thank you.
Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. That was Lizzie. Velasquez. She was born with a rare disease that makes it impossible for her to gain weight. A few years ago, she discovered that internet bullies cruelly voted her the ugliest on the internet, rising above her tormentors. She has gone to succeed greatly in life. Watch her great, amazing speech. And this was amazing. And thank you very much. And I have to say that she's a beautiful lady. Both on the outside and the inside. Now I will go ahead and I will play another song. And the song I'm going to play is I'm Ready by Bryan Adams. 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. That was Brian Adams. I'm ready. 100.3 CKMS. Sound FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play another song. And that song will be Run to You by Brian Adams. That's 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. Stand.
Okay, so you want just...
And I'll stand with Mickey Mouse or in my Kiro Barrows.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I love it. All right, let me see. Oh, I like it. Hold on, hold on. And one more. I'm coming in. Okay, sweet.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Is that... Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
there?
Amazing. And that's amazing, yeah. Thank
is
you
that
so
okay?
Much. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, good, good. All right. Well,
and will this... And
I can
how
find your email on the website.
I can even write it down for you.
Yeah, sure. If you want to, and then I'll send it to you. I'm just going to plaster it better first.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to do one more if you don't mind.
That's okay.
If I'm not going to screw you up.
No, that's okay.
You can give that to me after if you want to. I don't want to screw you out of here.
No problem.
Sweet. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, I'm going to do one more with you and Mickey. Yes. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
I think the first one might be better just because that lighting's really bright, but
exactly.
I'll send you one.
Thank
I'll
you
let
so
you
much.
Back.
I appreciate
cool,
it. Thank
no
you.
No problem. Okay, I'll let you go back to your room.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. There you have it. That was Ryan Adams' Run to You. 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. And I have to say that was an amazing song. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play another song called S Club 7, Never Had a Dream Come True.
Everybody's got something I believe we had.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, how are you finishing up?
I'm just going to be finishing up just as of this moment. I'm just going to be finishing up as of this moment. So, I'm just going to be moving my stuff after the song.
Yeah.
I'll be moving my stuff. I'll be shutting my recording down right now.
Yeah.
And go from there. I'm just going to do that. And then I'll just play another song and then you can set up. Because, I mean, yeah, you're right within our 8 minutes, right? So.
Yeah. Perfect.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
We'll set up some stuff.
Absolutely.